It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Rodney DeBulsey. I will be your host for the next hour. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting superstar at UGASports.com, and former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan.
The real superstar.
The real superstar. The real reason you're tuning in to 11 Live Sports to watch the show is to catch Jim Donnan talk about answer all your questions and explain football to us because, well, let's be honest, he's forgotten more about football this morning than I've ever known. So, the grand speaker at the Macon Touchdown Club last night. He did a fantastic job down there. I was able to witness that. If you get a chance to invite Coach Donnan to come speak to your corporate event or whatever you have going on, trust me, that is an invitation that you will be happy you made. He had everybody in stitches. I was rolling. I'm stealing so much of his material, he should be able to file a lawsuit by this afternoon. I'm just going to take it all. If you're watching our show, then you're on 11alivesports.com. Please give them a like on their page. They do a fantastic job covering the Falcons, covering the Hawks, covering the Braves, covering high school. No one covers high school football better than 11 Live Sports. I want to give them a big shout-out. And, of course, our sponsors. We'll talk about them later in the show. We're going to jump right into football, but big shout out to Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Cable East, and 365 Game Day. Of course, we are at Champions. Our food isn't out yet, but we're going to have
four-time
People's Choice for the best fried chicken in Athens. And I guarantee you that if they were in Atlanta or, you know, if it were a national competition, they would win it too, because you just can't get better fried chicken than you can here at Champions. And I also tell you to get the tamales and the fried green tomatoes.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, I know it's a fried chicken place, but if you get a chance to come down here and have the tamales and
catfish, man.
You and your catfish, I'm telling you, the tamales are where it's at. Of course, yeah, Coach loves the catfish. And
I mean, I like the chicken. I mean, on the disc last night was asking me, he said, how's this chicken compared to Champions? I said, well, it's pretty good. But I said, you need to go to Champions when you go up to Athens.
And yeah, and that was good. That was good, but it was just –
That's the difference in culture and agriculture.
Exactly. It's tough to have bad fried chicken, but the stuff here is fantastic. It was good, but it's nothing like Champions.
But we go over these other sponsors. I got to tell you this story about this Kentucky player that I got. It's just right off – I got to hurry up and tell you, so go ahead.
Who else? No, go ahead. We mentioned them all.
You already have?
Yes, sir.
You hit everybody?
We're quick.
Athens Ford? I mean.
We did. We'll talk about more about them in the
show. But you know Coach Stoops has taken over that program and done a really good job, and there's so many kids in the program that have been there forever, but there was one kid that transferred in and didn't play much, but he just getting ready to graduate, and Coach Stoops told him he'd help him get a job, and he wanted to get into law enforcement. So he said, hey, I'll help you. He said, I'll get you an interview. So he met with the sheriff of the county up there in Lexington, and he said, look, I got to ask you a couple questions. And he said, okay. He said, give me 2 days of the week and begin with T. He said, today and tomorrow. He said, hey, that's pretty good. He said, well, how much is one and one? He says, 11. He said, well, I guess you could be 11. He said, well, I got to ask you something, you know, technical question here, because you're going to be a law enforcement guy. I said, do you know who shot Abraham Lincoln? He said, no, I really don't. He said, well, that's all right. He said, I want you to get the job. Go ahead and go home and come back tomorrow, and we'll check you out and everything. So guy goes home, and, you know, he's recently married, and the wife said, how'd that interview go? He said, it went great. They already got me working on a murder case. Here we go.
I love it. Sorry. I mentioned this to you on the ride down yesterday, and I still think it bears repeating to our audience here at on our UGA Sports Live podcast on the 11 Live Facebook page. Georgia is going to be playing Kentucky for the SEC East title in football.
Just amazing.
Now, which is more crazy, Georgia playing them for a football title or Kentucky and Georgia meeting for a basketball title, which, you know, was the case not too long ago. You know, the SEC East was up for, you know, there was a battle there. And I remember being just as flummoxed by the fact that, you know, I think Georgia had a 20-win season and had a chance to actually,
right.
if they'd beaten Kentucky, they might have qualified for the East.
Hopefully we'll
this
get
is just
that
weird
way
territory.
In, we'll get
it
that
is,
way
yeah.
in basketball quickly. But I'm going to say this about Kentucky. It's been since 1977 since they won more than four games in the conference, and now they've already won five with wow. the possibility of winning two more, you know, playing us, and then I think they still got a game with Tennessee. But realistically, is it with Tennessee or Vanderbilt who they got to play? Both of them, maybe. So here's the deal, though. The thing about the East this year, I was just counting on it being a lot stronger than it's turned out to be. Missouri's only won four, has not won a conference game. They're 0-4. Tennessee's won one. You know, South Carolina's won three, but they've lost some tough ones too. You know, Florida's a little bit better than maybe we thought they were going to be. But realistically, the East, Vanderbilt's down. I mean, they finally beat the pillow fight of the week. They beat Arkansas last week. So, you know, give Kentucky credit for doing what they needed to do in a league that's not quite as good as we thought it might be. And they've won some ugly games. I mean, when you can only pass for 18 yards and win 14-7 like they did against Vandy, and then last week not even scoring but 3 points to like 6 minutes to go in a game, return a punt return for 67 yards and score on the last play of the game. But they have a very good football team and excellent defense, a lot of veterans back, and their offense is a different type of offense. Everybody thinks because you got Benny Snell, it's a power running game. They're completely like a lot of teams we play, like Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee. They're a zone read team all the way. The quarterback reads everything, and Benny Snell's a great runner, but I like our chances. I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you want to get off the show, go ahead. We're going to beat Kentucky, man.
Well, that's been the UGA Sports Live podcast. Tune in next
stay
Tuesday.
Stay with us. I feel good about it. They're a good team and all that, but, I mean, I like the way our defense can line up against a one-dimensional team. Yeah. If you look at our team against Missouri, we took away the pass. Even though they ran okay, I think we can take away the run on the Wildcats and make them throw, and they're just not – they're a left-handed team when they're one-handed like that.
Let me ask you this, Coach. What's more dangerous about Kentucky, in your opinion? Is it that the rushing attack that they present, or is it more so the fact that this is a team that's come from behind so often and bounced back against some adversity?
I think that second part, just the fact that they found a way to win some games they didn't have their A game, you know what I mean? They got down to Central Michigan in the first game. They were down like 14-0 in the first half. I think I might have texted you or Roddy, hey, I can't believe they're losing to Central Michigan. But they came back with a big win over Florida when, you know, after losing so many games in a row. But this team's a veteran team. I heard Kirby yesterday at a press conference talk about so many of the starters are the same guys that we played against 2 years ago up there. So they got some excellent length in their secondary, long-arm kids that can play the pass. They got really good pass rush. And defensively, they're going to give you a lot of trouble. Offensively, they haven't really done as much as you'd think, even though Snell gets a yardage. But the quarterback, Wilson, I liked a little bit better early in the year. They've tried to make him a passer in the pocket. I think they're going to move him around more against us because he's more of a threat to call a pass that's outside and then run with it than he is to run with the ball off his own read. So we got to be careful about this guy getting on the edge against us because he's a junior college transfer that can make plays with his feet, average passer, I feel good about the way we'll game plan. And if you look at Vanderbilt and you look at Missouri games, and I'm sure Dane will break it down a little bit, you could see everybody on the line of scrimmage pretty much 5 yards deep. They had eight men in the box the whole game daring them to throw the ball, and they couldn't do it. And we got good corners that can play these guys man-to-man. So I like our defense against these guys, even though we haven't been great against the run, I think we'll be pretty good against this attack.
What about Georgia's offense versus his Kentucky defense? Now, I know it sounds weird, but Kentucky hasn't given anybody 21 points. And, yeah. I mean, their defense that just sounds wrong when you mention Kentucky. Kentucky is a team that, I mean, you expected the other team to score 35 points.
Yeah, the thing about this team, as I said, they're veteran. They know where to be. They feel they don't make mistakes. You got to beat them. But we got the two-pronged attack now. We're a lot more confident. I think you and I talked about yesterday, you know, you lose a little swagger when you get beat like we did down at LSU, but you also build up some renewed confidence in yourself with the way we performed and under pressure against Florida, because we didn't really have that great a first half, but the second half put it away. But I think just the fact that if we can get ahead of this team, they're not a team that can score in bunches. So, you know, we can force them to take some chances and maybe get some turnovers. But I like the fact that we don't make many mistakes on offense as far as turning the ball over, and we do a pretty good job of hitting some big plays on these guys, because we got a lot of different ways to hurt you, and we explored our tight end a little more last week. I'm not overly trying to be Mr. Optimistic here, but I mean, I'm James Brown on the rest of the year right now, man. I feel good.
Yeah, you mentioned not scored in bunches. Just looking over it real quick, against SEC opponents, the most Kentucky's manufactured 27 points against the Gators. That was second week of the season. Since then, it's been 24, I think.
28.
28, I'm sorry, yeah. So against Miss State. So, yeah, I mean, it's not
– That's a big win for them, beating Mississippi State, and that's a tough loss for them. They only got, what, seven again? How many did you get against A&M?
Yeah, it was 14-20 in overtime.
Yeah, they haven't – the most points they scored in the last three games, 14. And, you know, they did score against Missouri, I think, the final.
And they should have lost to Missouri. Let's call that what it is. That was two horrible, horrible officiating calls at the end of that game. And I'm not trying to bang on Kentucky because Georgia's about to play them. But, I mean, it didn't matter if they were playing anybody. When you have a wide receiver run over a guy, then you call interference on him, then you get the untimed down. And the tight end knocks his guy to the ground, pretty much pushes off.
He pushed that guy a lot more than Nauta pushed
that guy.
That
was the point I was about to make.
So I think the thing that got me about that was not – I mean, you're going to get some calls, but the guy on top of the play, the side judge, he didn't call it. The guy in the middle of the field called it, which I think is pretty much an overrule right there. You know, I thought – but, hey, those things happen. That's happened to Missouri before there. You know, they had the fifth down play there with Colorado and different end zone there, you know, early 90s. But and they had Nebraska hit that play on them at the end of the game. But I just think I'm doing a lot of talking here, but I feel like our team needed a confident win to get the fact back that aura about Georgia is there. Because when you play against a good team and you haven't ever beaten them much, that always hits your mind psychologically. Deep down, do you know if we can think we can beat these guys? We hope we can. But now that we've established the fact that, hey, we beat Florida a lot worse than Kentucky did, so it's got to be on the minds of Kentucky as compared to us going in there with another loss.
Yeah, Georgia has – if you look at comparable opponents, Georgia between Kentucky and Georgia, you know, who they've played in common, Georgia has beaten everybody considerably by a much bigger margin. Right. So that's why you saw that the line come out. I think it's 12. It dropped to like 9 or something.
What's the line now?
Last I saw, it was like 9.5.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's already dropped down.
And again, it's Georgia's.
I mean, good, but I would never bet on a game. But hey, seriously, I mean, I feel good about Georgia just because, and it's not. I'm not a homer here. I'm just thinking, being realistically, being analytical, looking at our teams, that we match up good with this kind of offense. With our defense, I just think we make them.
Well, what have we seen Kirby do in all of his games to this date? He has tried to take a team and make them one-dimensional. He's either going to take away the pass, take away the run. It's a heck of a lot easier to defend a team when you've forced. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you guess wrong. And like we saw against Missouri, they take away the pass from Drew Lock, and they have some success running. But that's part of it. When taking away the pass, you're opening yourself up to something else. But Missouri couldn't run it well enough to beat you. So you did that, and we've seen them do the opposite, take away the run from teams, saying, you know, okay, you have to go to the air, and that's what they're going to do against Kentucky. And Kentucky's already quasi limited in what they do. And I think that if I had to put money on Mel Tucker And Kirby Smart going up against a, I don't say completely one-dimensional team, but a team that leans heavily one way, I like it. We've seen, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. You can still have to run against a Georgia Tech, and you can still lose to them, you know, because they're good at it.
Hey, don't mention Tech, man. That worries the heck out of me. I might not even show up that week worrying about that kid. I mean, is there any
Tobias is pretty good.
We need to get that guy to miss the bus for that trip. I mean, I've never seen a guy run 40 times at a quarterback. And, you know, if you look at it, that Bud Foster's team, the D coordinator for Virginia Tech, giving up 49 points twice this year. And this goes to show you, it's a lot about the players because they lost about five kids to the pros, and they're young. But getting back to that one-dimensional thing, I think I want to just add the fact that you made, that's a good point, that our team against the run now is a lot more solid against a pure running team because of Jordan Davis is in the middle as mm-hmm. compared to what we had earlier in the year where people getting the second level a lot easier. We missed some tackles last week, but our tackling was a lot better, and we made them play down in distance, and they didn't make a lot of first downs on us, and we converted on third down. Actually, four touchdowns on third down, so that's tremendous. Tremendous play calling, tremendous execution by Jake. And
that sounds a lot like third and Grantham.
Yeah, I mean, I knew we talked about it earlier in the week when they put that stat out there, and I'll – give him a little love here from the standpoint of they did have some guys playing that weren't their first team guys, but you know, still you got a next man up. I mean, that's the way it goes. You got to, and we continue to exploit some of the things they do, and I thought we did a good job of it. And some of our just implementation and use of personnel, for instance, when we did hit the ball to Terry for the big touchdown on third down, the way we set up our protection really helped our team because, you know, that both their guys were good edge rushers and they killed LSU in third down. I mean, they killed them. I'm talking about Florida.
Yeah.
So we lined up, if you just people that aren't watching on Facebook but listening, we lined up with a tight end and a back to the left side there to secure that edge. So that basically they had to get around three people, that edge rusher.
Tackle the tight end
and the back. And then they played a man scheme on the strong side, and Terry just wore that guy out, and Jake had a perfect
That was probably one of the best passes he's had all year.
But just the way we set it up with our protection, and it was after a timeout, but, you know, we were able to tell those guys, look, this is what we're going to do here. We're going to be able to take care of all our protection to the weak side, and we're pretty good on the strong side, but that's the side that Jake's looking to, and if he gets any heat, he's ready to let it go. Just a well-thought-out play.
Now, why didn't they think about the backside protection when they're trying to punch it in from fourth and one, or first and goal?
Yeah, a lot of questions rolling in about that.
That's got to be one of the
I think we need to address that now, Chris, because we have a lot of questions.
I'll address that because I think one of the things about this show, people accuse me of being a homer and all that, but I will say this, that was not good by us. If you're going to protect the backside, the first thing you got to do is protect your inside gap. If you're whatever you are, guards, tackle, or end. And in this case, our tight end secured the inside, but there wasn't anything there. So when you step to the inside, you got to hinge back and just make sure the outside rusher runs around you. Because if he runs around you, then he's not going to be able to cut off anything. But we didn't even touch 92. And what happened is they did it on two successive plays, but then we had a penalty, and we didn't get the communication to him, and we ran two sneaks. And then when we ran the next play again, they did it again. So poor communication by us. Well, any way you look at it, you got to see that in the press box. You got to see that on the
– Well, it wasn't just 92. 98, Ankrum did it. And this was my
well, whoever it was, you can't
– No, it was four different guys.
Here's the thing you got to remember about goal line and short yardage. The other team is going to sell out on the goal line, and that's why you see so many play-action passes hit and things like that. But usually speaking, if you got four downs inside the one, you're going to run in at least two downs, maybe three, just because of the percentage with you. But we got good movement at the point of attack. We just got hit from the backside, and they'll address that. It was a bad deal for us, but a whole lot rather happen in a win than a loss. But
how concerning is that, though? I mean, if you're, you know, you're the staff, you're watching that, and you're seeing that, hey, we can't get any push up front to get that 1 yard. I mean, I would think that there's got to be some worry.
Well, there's later concern in. About it, but there's not many teams going to get that kind of push. You know, usually it's because the guy dives over or something like that. But the big concern for me was the mental era part of it, because we got a little. If you look at the play itself, we got some push at the point of attack, enough where he could get in. But if a guy's getting hit in the backfield from the backside, you got no juice to get over the top. So it was poor by us, and the sneaks weren't very good. And it makes you look at what we need to do. If we can put Luke Ford in there to be in a goal line situation, maybe we use Justin some on the goal line. I don't know that. I don't know what the thinking is. But
well, I mean, I'm down with using, if you're going to run a sneak and you're obvious, they know it's coming. Everybody in the stadium knows it's coming. It's a man-on-man test.
But they didn't know the first two. Well, we ran regular plays.
Yeah, but then when you got the new set of downs and you got it on the foot line, he's lining up. You come in with your jumbo package, and you don't block the backside guy. Here's what killed me about that whole series. On the first three downs, you got blown up by the backside pursuit guy to the point where you had to throw it. You throw it, you get a pass interference call, you get a new set of downs. At that point, somebody has to recognize, hey, we are not blocking this backside guy. You run it two more times, the backside guys get through there again.
Why didn't you ask Kirby that yesterday?
Yeah. Kirby's too mean to
seriously,
me.
Seriously, why wouldn't
somebody missed it. And then you bring up Luke Ford, and I want to point out that as infuriating as that is for Georgia fans, Georgia did make the right call on that little toss to Swift, because Swift was following Luke Ford, and Kendall Baker popped out. Kendall hit his block. Luke Ford went straight to the end zone. If DeAndre Swift had been on his hip, his lead block, he'd have walked into the end zone.
But didn't he get hit from the backside too?
He got hit by the outside guy. He went to the outside of his block. So that one was on Swift. So you can't blame the tight ends for that one, because the tight ends did their job. But, again, it's when the coaches pull out their hair, and everyone wants to blame the bad calls, which I get that. But at on that same series,
the calls, it was execution of the calls.
I was about to say,
I'm going to take up the call.
That's my point.
A good call. We didn't do what we had a missed assignment there, and you can't have that. But
get a missed assignment and then a missed run.
Right. So we're really worrying about rat manure when there are elephant turds all around. So we got to be careful that you don't make it more than it is. But at the same time, it's disconcerting to not be that. And then we ran a little cute end around type, we used to call it 48-49 rocket, you know, the jet sweep to we ran a good one. I thought we got a bad mark by the official on the one over there
on James Cook's.
And then we ran Miko around and they stopped it. But hey, short yardage, you watch it around the country, it's hard to make.
Yeah.
It's hard to make, but at the same time, it's hard to stop, too. And we've been hurt some on short yardage. You know, we saw what LSU did to us. But there's some areas that we got to get better at on that. But the one good thing about it, we hit some big third down plays, too. But I would say let's see how we do with a little change up on our backside. That'll help us a lot.
Well, Chris Metcalf points out, and it's something we talked about afterward, it's certainly a concern. It's something that played into all that on Saturday. He said, look, our offensive line was musical chairs on Saturday, and it has been all season. It's been a situation
amazing
where those guys have been in and out and moved to different spots and just kind of all over the board. It's tough when you don't have that consistency up front, and I think that getting Ben Cleveland back is going to be a big help for that. We'll see if that happens this week. Andrew Thomas, you know, if he's able to overcome this this ankle thing and kind of play through that.
Well, you look at that replay of Andrew. I mean, that's tough when you get your ankle bent over and you've already got it taped up heavily, and it's just hard to, all of us know how, when you have an injury to your ankle or foot, it's hard to, even if you're just normal society walking around but playing major football. But that's a good pick by him saying that. We've had, but I think Pittman's done a good job of using those guys at their best. You know, last week we played the whole line, the same lineup the whole game against LSU, but this week we had to move some guys around. And but I would say, any way you look at it, he scored that many points, that many big plays, some good runs, and it's one of those things that you got to answer all these questions. So let's see who else got something. But on the goal line, I think we'll rectify that.
I think you'll fix that. I mean, it's again, it was assignments. It's not that you didn't have enough personnel, and you know, Kirby mentioned some of that, but when he was asked about, you know, some of the misses made by the inside linebackers, and he said, look, you know, we got the guys we got. You can't go out midseason and change them. I think that, you know, that to me is a bigger concern than your goal line stance or, you know, your third and one, fourth and one, because if your guys block properly, those score, you know. So it's in other words, you have the guys who can get the job done. You just need to put them, get them to do the right thing. Whereas against Benny Snell, if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm worried about, you know, making tackles.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
But again, and that's something you can't just go, well, we're going to bring in somebody else. Those were just
we're saying
guys
the same
in the right
thing
position.
We did the first preseason. What are we going to do to replace Roquan?
Which is tough. I want to jump in real quick and give you a quick shout out to Athens Ford, big sponsors of our show, big sponsors of our website. I've mentioned, you know, you can get cars for under 14,000, brand new cars for under 14,000 or 20,000. If anybody, I saw one of these on the way down to the Georgia game, one of those giant King Ranch crew cab diesel trucks, bright red, chromed out everywhere, tons of Georgia flags on it, tons of Georgia decals. I'm on my way to see the dogs play. Beautiful truck. And you can go out right now and get a 2018 new one out at Athens Ford for 10 grand off. So if you need one for the farm, need one, if you just want to pull your RV, what do they call those?
Camper
things. If you want to pull one of those, if you just want to drive around in one, you can get one there, 10 grand off. And, of course, I was also behind a black, there's a red Raptor. I saw it in town.
Nice.
Looks really nice. You know, so you go out there and get a Raptor. But so the Ford F-150, the XLT 302 crew cab, saw a red one at I'll tweet out the picture of it. I was at a gas station on the way back, and all these Georgia fans were having such a glorious ride back. You know, they're like playing music really loud, swerving all over the road because they beat Florida by 19 points, top 10 team. They were so excited, and I saw this red Ford F-150 with, again, you know, the window, the flags in the windows. You can get a new one of those for $14,500 off or 0% financing for 72 months for qualified buyers. So if you're looking for a nice truck, you know, and it's about that time, you go out and if you want to get the Lariat or the King Ranch crew cab or the F-150, which I absolutely adore, love that truck, you can get $10,000 off the Lariat or King Ranch and $14,500 off a new Ford F-150. So, and like I said, this red Raptor we have here, you know, which is just a beautiful truck, when you go out to Athens Ford, take a test drive in it. You'll fall in love with it. There's a red one, just like the one we have here on the table, running around town.
Be careful, though, about test driving it, because you're going to have a hard time going home with it.
And the guy's like, you need to give us the keys back, sir. You know, you're kind of holding them in your pocket. So,
but I don't want to.
So, and, hey, the financing they have out there. Because, I mean, look, for the Ford Explorer, you can get it right now $9,500 off or $2,000 off and 0% APR financing for 60 months. 72 months of 0% financing on the F-150. 60 months 0% financing for qualified buyers on the Ford Escape, the EcoSport, and the Ford Focus. So,
the whole lineup.
Yeah, I mean, so if you don't want to, you know, if you don't want to be charged interest on all this stuff, you know, put the bank's money to work for you. Go out there and get these things. They're already knocked down ridiculously low because they're 2018s. It's still this year, but they got the 2019s coming in. So now's the if you watch Clark Howard and he tells you to buy a new car, which he does, and he always says buy a used one. And if you get a used one out at Athens Ford, you get it with a lifetime powertrain warranty on it, so long as it's under 80,000 miles. So if you follow the Clark Howard thing of buying a used car first, well, then you got the powertrain warranty. But if you get a new one, now's the time to do it because they're marking them down to make room for the 2019. So Coach rode down with me yesterday in my 2016.
Sweet ride. Yeah.
Charles Kaiser here with an interesting situation. Perhaps Georgia should look into.
All right, Charles.
He says, "Hey, let's not forget Isaiah Wilson played some running back in high school in those short yardage situations.
Oh, yeah.
Now that would be fun to watch. It would be great to see them bring that back. Although, you know, who are you going to put at that right tackle spot when he's not there?
That's good. You know, we had this kid at Marshall named Johnny McKee, who was a high school fullback, and he ate his way into being an offensive lineman. And we used Johnny back there kind of like they were using the fridge, you know, when Chicago Bears. And Johnny was a bear when he got that ball. He was hard to pull down. But what else we got here?
A lot of people.
Some guy said that he somebody told me some guy from Furman asked about he was a fullback when they beat us at Marshall. And, hey, that Furman beat us, that was a big win for him. And, you know, we were 4-1 against Furman when I was at Marshall. But they did beat us, and I can't remember how they hurt us. Maybe he was running good at fullback, but – congratulations. Good job, Purple Paladins.
Ronnie Brown here, our guy out of Auburn. He says, Coach, I've read a good bit about that veteran UK defense. What would be your plan of attack to go against those guys? How do you kind of attack that group?
You know, whenever you play against a good defense, you got to understand that you're not just going to run up and down the field on them. So you got to be ready to go with your best stuff, you know, cut back, and work on execution, man on man, you know. So the first thing you got to do is avoid lost yardage plays, because a really good defense, they get you behind the sticks, they got you. So we need to make sure we don't have any bad bust where they hit us behind the line. Second thing is have a really good screen and misdirection thing to take away from their really good pursuit, you know. Try to work hard on their aggressiveness with some misdirection and some screens to slow down their rush. And then the other thing is go with your best stuff. Hey, we got a power ball, good offensive line, and we can come off on them and get after them. So I think we proved last week we can run the ball really well. We did a good job with that. And the thing that's great is when you make some long runs, boy, that makes a lot easier with your play action and your passing game. And I just can't say enough about the routes that Holloman ran, you know, man routes. And he, you know, those are tough catches. He made them when the band's playing, and that was awesome. So those would be my things. First of all, avoid the bad plays, and by that, don't run a lot of funky stuff on them. Just go right at them, and then play action, it's going to be good. And then I think take some shots on them. I mean, they got to still cover you, even though they're a good receiver, defensive back. We got some big-time receivers, man. I'm telling you now. We got guys that can go the route, so go for it.
A bunch of other questions rolling in here. A lot of people talking about the linebackers, the inside linebacker play, you know, still missing some tackles at that level of the game.
What can you do? I mean, you can't trade. When they work at it, I promise you, we tackle more than any team. I only watched a couple practices, you know, since fall camp, and we really do a lot of contact at practice. They work hard on technique and everything else, but it's hard to tackle some of these backs. I mean, Scarlett and P. Ryan are good players. I mean, those two guys from you watch pros, you miss tackles. So we just don't have a overpowering guy like Roquan. But I don't think you can scheme – you can scheme making tackles. The only thing you can do is try to be in position and try to get two guys on them instead of one.
Go ahead.
When you have guys that aren't performing, the knee-jerk reaction, and I mean it's legitimate, is put somebody else in. But if you're going to bring in a Quay Walker, Channing Tindall, a Nate McBride, Jaden Hunter, anybody else in that same position, are you sure that they will be, as Coach says, will they be in the right position? Are they doing better? In other words, are those guys doing better in practice than the guys you have out there now? Kirby Smart's in practice 20 hours a week, and he's still putting the same guys out there. He acknowledges that they're having issues.
Yeah.
But my gut reaction would be like, well, take him out, put the other guy in. Well, there's obviously a reason that they're not, and
right.
I'm not going to second-guess the coach by saying, you know, I know that you – took in Nate McBride, but why aren't you putting him in there instead of Tay Crowder? Well, I mean, they had 29 days of practice before the season started. They have 4 days of practice each week. I'm assuming that the guys he's putting out there are his best players.
Well, deep down, any way you look at it, and it's good to have questions like that, but don't you think if, based on our lack of results, if they thought anybody could do better, they would put them in there.
That's my point.
Because it got every reason to change based on what – but that we haven't seen that from these other players yet. And as I've mentioned before, we have a difficult defense from the standpoint of checks and things we have to do, a lot more difficult than our offense. People talk about, well, hey, can this – our offense is very, very simple. I mean, you can – that kid came in, the third team guy came in without any spring practice. He does a good job with – our defense is a lot more involved in our checks, because the thing about offense, you can just run a play, and maybe, hey, if you don't like it, you can check off, but, you know, you still run it. But defense, if you're not lined up right and you have a defensive call and you don't get to the check, they're going to really hurt you. So our defense a lot more calls in it than our offense, from my perspective. I could be wrong, but, I mean, I would say – you know, maybe one hundredth of a wrong on that. I don't know.
Give yourself a little bit of wiggle room there. A lot of people coming in with the question, talking about yesterday at practice, what we saw. Natori Johnson, former four-star offensive guard, playing over on the defensive line.
Was he on the scout team, or was he over there running plays?
I wasn't there, so I'm not sure.
That's probably a situation you need to – David Marshall's out, and Muckie's out.
Daquan Hawker-Muckles is out. We did have a sighting on him. Let me look that up real quick. Go ahead.
So, just he has the physical prowess. He's not playing on offense. Give him a shot and see how he does. That's another good case of roster management there.
I agree. That feels a lot like the Michael Barnett situation when he first came in. You know, he started off on DL, bounced over to OL, and now he's kind of come back, found his home over on the defensive line, and has done well for him there this year. I think that you don't know how he's going to respond next year, the year after that, but guys like Terry Hill, guys like Jamari Sellier, Justin Schaefer is playing more than Natori. I mean, it's a situation where, how can this guy help us contribute? And maybe it's not on the offensive line right now.
He's also fast as lightning off the line, too.
He's a good runner. Some people forget about him. He ran track in high school.
That's a good move. It's like moving Crowder from running back to linebacker.
Yes, yep.
You always look at what gives you the best chance to give a guy – he's just a freshman. I mean, he got three more years after this.
So look what Mike Thornton did.
And how about the reverse of Lamont Galliard?
Yeah.
As Dave McMahon points out.
What a player he is.
Remember,
what a player guy.
And Kendall Baker came in. They were recruiting him to both defensive line and offensive line, but you had Lamont Galliard come in defensively, switched over to offense. We wrote about him last week. One of the best and one of the most highly ranked and rated centers in the nation.
Oh, absolutely.
Lamont Galliard. So hopefully he translates that into some NFL cash.
And Hill's getting a lot of good reps, and he's going to be a good center too.
Absolutely. And you're going to need him next year, but I like the idea of Natori flipping sides. I don't remember him playing any defense, but I just know that for a guy to come off the ball fast, he had it. We had at the rivals camp, we have the guys split up into teams, and we had two teams that were tied. And they decided to settle it with a big man's race, and they basically put a defensive end up against Natori Johnson. No, I wasn't on one of the teams, but just of those guys, I'd have won, Coach. You know that.
I know you got jets.
I can fly.
Wheels.
I got wheels. And, so they're looking at, this defensive end versus these tight ends and stuff like that. That team, Natori said, I'm running it, and he got out there. He got beat, but he still accounted pretty well. So
hey, there's some great video on Twitter you can go find of him.
I'm just saying, that's fun stuff.
Something's been bugging me. I need to talk to the guru here.
Daquan Hawkins-Muckle, hang on 1 second, we did see him on campus. Anthony Dasher did. So there has been a sighting. He has not been to practice for almost a month now. So
what about –
we've seen him on campus.
What about Emory? Give us the word on him.
John Emory, that was a tough loss for the Bulldogs last week. Obviously a four-star back out of Louisiana. Look, you've always got to be concerned about that. I think you probably know that as well as anybody in the world. Getting kids out of Louisiana, hey, if it were easy, everybody would do it. But it's
Bama kicks her butt this week. We might get, but I heard Bama's in on him too.
Bama's in on him too. Florida's in on him. I mean, he's got a lot of great options. I'll be surprised if the kid gets out of Louisiana. It's just,
and Georgia's not going to let up either.
No, definitely not. And he's going to take his official visit still to see Athens. So, it's not like they're completely out of this race. From all we've been told, his mom gave kind of a glowing review at one point to Chad Simmons about what they were doing for him. The dad seems to be very heavily Georgia favored. So, I don't think Georgia's out of this one. It's like I said, it reminds me a lot of the Dante Jackson situation from a few years ago.
It's going to be very similar. Interesting. Based on our MO, like last year, we had seven or eight guys decommit, and every one of them we ended up with a better player. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen here with this kid, but because
it's hard to
get a guy with his reputation and his size. But hopefully, you know, Zamir is going to continue to work like he has. He's had a really good rehab. And, you know, these backs that we have are looking good. I mean, but you just don't need to slit our throat about recruiting here. It'll be okay. And hopefully we can get Hazelwood back and maybe flip Papo. It'd be great for us to just pull Auburn's pants down over here when we play them, you know, and just let those kids that keep thinking Auburn's going to go with it. So but I needed that answer from you, and I know a lot of the fans want it, and sure, that's why you're the man.
How many quarterback questions do we have?
Not that many, actually.
What?
Most people really just –
Facebook, you're letting us down.
Most people just talking about, you know, the idea of why not bring Justin Fields in on those short on that short yardage situation, give him a chance to run, you know, the sneak up the middle. But really not that many.
6'3", 225, I'd be fine with that.
We've got a really good question here. Do we want to
I do want to hit up your pie real quick and let folks know about the new pizza they have out there. We got to go get this.
Is this the taco one? No, this is the –
we did have some good tacos down in Jacksonville.
No, you talked about the taco pizza last week.
No, this is the voodoo one.
Right.
It has
it's
a
Halloween
Zaps chips on tops, you know, and
– voodoo.
A little andouille sausage,
yeah,
some corn.
I mean, you got the roasted corn, the andouille sausage, Zaps chips. I don't know – I'm assuming everybody's familiar with Zaps chips, but it's kind
if
of –
If you're not, you should be.
You should. I mean, it's a New Orleans thing. That's the first time I ever had them down there. Oh, and they're hotter than hot or whatever, hotter than hell. They're when they make hot chips at Zaps, do not go into those lightly. You know, you're going to lose your face with those things. But they have some Kraft pizzas out of Your Pie. Now, cool thing is, you go into Your Pie, and it's not a dessert place, although they do have gelato. I like the Spanish version of it. They have ice cream. When you go in, you know, they'll – ask you which type of crust you want, you know, white, wheat, gluten-free, you get it. They tell you you can put whatever sauce you want on it, whatever toppings you want. You can make your own. But they have had contests in the past where they come up with these people can create one and submit it, like, here's my favorite type of pizza. And this is beyond just the pineapples and Canadian bacon stuff. This is some – when they have, you know, 30 different items out there, you can come up with some fun stuff, you know, like 10 different cheeses. So – I don't know who came up with this idea, but this voodoo one with the andouille sausage, the drizzle on it, the corn, the Zaps chips, this sounds amazing. I'm probably going to go from here and get one before we head down to Atlanta. So
that's fair.
Just a heads up.
Today you're going over there.
Today
to
is actually the day, yes, to go down there.
Get your picture made.
Yeah, I made a mistake last week. Drove down a week early.
At least
for,
you know how to get there now.
I do. I got a real good, and I know all the parking lots. There's some couple nice restaurants around there that I like to pop into now. So that was a little bit embarrassing, but we will have some good stuff coming from that. Don't worry.
We'll also have a practice report without any photos.
There you go. Oh no, we won't have a practice report.
At
today.
Least you went before the event.
Oh, it is open today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Open viewing periods today for Georgia's practice on the Tuesday. Open periods are 2 and 3. Here's a new one. Now, they early in the season, they said we couldn't take
any. Stop
yeah. I mean, they said we couldn't do any video, so no video of any practices for some weird reason. Now, today, there are no photos. So, apparently,
did somebody
maybe
put
Webster
some photos
back out there? Maybe Webster's going to come back out there. Emmanuel Lewis.
Here's the thing. We're not taking pictures or shooting video of them lined up in 11-on-11s or anything like that. They're always in group exercises while we're out there. But apparently, we're not allowed to take photos today. So
they don't want you to take a picture of Ben Cleveland.
Yeah. All right. I think this is a very, very good question. I'm surprised somebody hasn't asked something similar to this you know, earlier in the season. But Jason Kennebrew here. He says 4 games left on the schedule, UK, Auburn, UMass, Georgia Tech. What are you anticipating is going to be the toughest game left on that schedule?
I'm a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a heck of an engineer. Hey, no question in my mind, just if they play like they did the other night, that's going to be a tough ball game. You got to make them punt some way. I don't know how you do it. Kentucky's a tough game, no question about it, but – Kentucky's not near the offensive team that this team is. Of course, they're a lot better defensive team. I say both of them are going to be good. I just reacted bad.
Well, I think Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech is the one that plays against your weaknesses the best. They're the one you have to be most concerned about, I would think. You know, Auburn's going to be able to gain some yards on you for sure. I mean, they always do. They're going to come out and play tough. You can count on that. But for the struggles that Georgia's had this year, Georgia Tech looks like a formidable opponent.
And you can't
– that's Auburn.
I mean, first thing you can't do is look ahead of this game. Let's take care of business here. But like I said earlier, I think we can really build the momentum toward the end of the year. You know, I mean, UMass is UMass. I mean, you know, they beat Connecticut last week, but that's going to be a game where we can get some people well. And, you know, obviously we've got to prepare for them, but we can work some on Tech that week and get our scout team ready. But Auburn, you know, I feel like if Auburn some way would beat A&M this week, has got a situation where, you know, their whole season's down to two games playing up. They got to play Liberty, but some way try to beat us or Alabama to salvage a year. You know what I mean?
Otherwise, that's why I'm saying it's
either wise. They're 8-4, 7-5. So, but hey, we're not this cart for the horse. We got to take care of Kentucky.
Well, no, that was the question. You know, is it Kentucky, Auburn? You know, Georgia Tech. Which of those is the toughest? So, I mean, he's not really jumping past it, but I think the Kentucky game. I like Georgia's chances in that game, although they're ranked highly. I think that they got that win last week thanks to a bad call. I don't think this should be for the SEC East title. I think that
I think if you put Auburn in –
but Auburn is the one to
if
me.
If Auburn had Kentucky scheduled, they'd probably be same record.
This is my thing. Auburn is
this good. Week will be a good indicator because Auburn lost – I mean, Kentucky lost to A&M. If all of a sudden Auburn jumps on A&M and – I mean, you know, we could and they've had an off week. You know, let's see what they're going to do. They got to manufacture a running game, though. They count way too much on their offense to throw the ball, and they really hadn't thrown it very well. And then defensively, they've given up some massive yards throwing the ball this year, I mean.
But Auburn is the closest team to Georgia in when it comes to in personnel. They've recruited really well. They got a lot of guys over there. They played Georgia very tough. Georgia humiliated them in the SEC championship game. There's going to be revenge on their mind. And beating Georgia is a huge boon to their season. Yeah. They're going to be just like LSU. They'll have their backs against the wall. They're going to need that game so much. They're going to come out fired up. And they've had success playing in Sanford, just like Georgia's had success playing down there. So,
if you look at those teams, which one has the best offense? Georgia Tech.
Yeah, very true.
Which one does the thing that hurts us the most? Georgia Tech running the ball. Even though Kentucky runs it, they don't run it. They don't get 350 yards a game rushing now. They Benny Snell makes people miss and all that.
I think
that.
The flip side of that, though, when you look at Georgia's offense versus Tech's defense, I like Georgia's offense considerably
that.
There.
I do. Yo, big time.
And but when I'm looking at Auburn's offense versus Auburn's defense versus Georgia's offense and defense,
hey,
that's why I think that was a little bit tighter.
We can argue on that all day. I would say Auburn probably has the best players of anybody we play left for sure. Yep. But for some reason, they're not finding a way to win. Kentucky is.
They'll get it right before they face Georgia. Don't worry. They always do.
Yeah. Okay.
Certainly. Ab Harding here with an interesting question after last week's game. He says, what do you make of Florida's excuse-making for Mullen and their players? They came out and talk about, this was not the best team won. Obviously there was some Instagram posts of the guy.
That's classless.
I mean, you get your ass beat, you take your lumps. I mean, we beat them, and you can't come in there and whine about – who we had and all that, and about the calls and all that. As far as I know, it's a four-down game. You just can't say, "Hey, we got beat on third down." Hey, but
in four quarters, they did well through three quarters. Fourth quarter was all Georgia.
We got the whammy on them right now.
Look, you lose by one, then you could say, or on a bad call. In other words, Missouri right now could say, "Hey, the better team lost. We had them. They got two gimme calls in the end zone." Missouri has every right to be snarky, say some stuff afterwards.
Here's what's hard
You lost by 19.
Here's what I would say. He should have had a press conference like that on Monday about all the things that went wrong and all that. Don't do it on Saturday. Hey, give Georgia credit. But all he talked about was all the things they didn't do and nothing about what we did, you know. And then he even threw in a thing about – well, you know, we had a freshman quarterback play, and they didn't. You know, everybody.
Which was bizarre.
Hey, it's going to be like that.
And don't get me wrong, we love Emory Jones. He's a fantastic quarterback. He threw one pass that was knocked away with pass interference. It was a great pass, but he also fumbled the ball and, you know, put them into a punting situation. So, yeah, you played your freshman quarterback who actually proved to be a liability for
and
you. Congratulations.
Then he said
now you're taking a shot.
You genius.
Then he said after the game, we're probably still redshirting.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense. You got the they didn't play him enough, but they bring him in to try to switch things up because they had to. Georgia was stymieing them. You beat him by 19. You have a guy at the somebody on the bottom of the pile is trying to gouge out Jake Fromm's eye on those quarterback sneaks on the end zone. And I asked Fromm about that. I'm like, was it on purpose? And he's like, I forgot. Which is
how many times you gouge a guy and it's not on purpose?
That's my point. So, but he took the in other words, the Georgia
quarterback. I'm sorry, I've got
trouble. The Georgia quarterback came up with a political answer to a question that was obvious devious. And then we saw the guy.
Those piles are tough now. I'm telling you.
They are. Then we saw a guy.
Have you ever been bitten in a pile?
I have not been bitten, but I've had certain things grabbed and twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had to
kick out. The one team that I got bitten by, I started to get a rabies shot after that team. Those are tough, man, getting bitten in the ankle. God.
No, I was recovering a fumble.
I looked over at Southern Miss one time. We were playing them, and back then the people didn't wear mouth guards or anything much. And I didn't see any teeth on the whole defensive line.
You knew you were in for it.
That wasn't the team that bit me either, fortunately, because they wouldn't have hurt me. Yeah.
They'd have just slobbered all over you.
But seriously, can you look over and see no teeth, man?
Oh, that's crazy. And
ugly looking. Oh, you know, the coach for them was P.W. Underwood. You remember P.W.? He ended up being over at Auburn coaching. Yeah, they ran so many defensive assignments in that game, our players got tired. P.W.
No, I thought the Mullen stuff – and. It's almost like he's trying to start a fight, you know. When you have a situation where you come out with the blind squirrel comments, you know, SEC media squirrel, you know, that blind squirrel just beat you by 19. Then you say you don't give him any credit for what they did right. You know, they scored 36 points on you, you know.
Well, they've had two straight weeks. They've had unsportsmanlike conduct on the bench.
Yeah, and you had that issue. You had a guy reaching up, grabbing Solomon Kinley's junk in the bottom of the pile. You had a guy gouging his eye out. You have somebody choking Charlie Warner, you know, and then posting about it.
Yeah, as if that were some sort of accomplishment.
Yeah, congratulations for your one tackle. You choked a tight end on the ground.
Is that all that's wrong with you today, Ronnie? What else? You got him right.
No, I'm just saying. You come out with all that, and it's almost like Dan Mullen's trying to pick a fight, you know, with Coach, you know, taking shots. And
but
I'm like,
that,
he doesn't
but
want
it,
to
but
pick
it feel,
a fight with Kirby.
But it feels like fake juice.
It does, because then you make you take a shot at them about Georgia not using its quarterback. Again, just trying to poke the bear. And on that first play, they tried the little flea flicker that Georgia busted on them last year when both the coaches were Mississippi State.
Fortunately,
which should
it.
Have worked.
Fortunately, they missed.
But again, just calling that play was kind of a big F you. Hey, you did it to us last year. We're doing it to you this year.
Robert Barnes here says that Gator was trying to find the off button on Jake Fromm.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
All right, let's get to the finale.
He also says Kentucky is going to be the hardest game, and this is a very strong answer.
The hardest game
because
the next one.
They're playing for the East too. They've got the East championship hanging in the balance for them as well.
You know, here's the thing about a game like that at your place. It's a tough, difficult place to play anyhow. But now they got a lot of hope, and they're going to play probably better than they're capable of. And they, you know. How many chances are they going to get to play for the Eastern Championship? You know, I mean, they're going to play balls out now. I'm telling you, it's going to be a tough game. But at the same time, I'm glad we're playing them now than we were after the LSU game because we should have some more confidence in ourselves.
We should. If you are not going to Lexington, Kentucky this weekend to watch the game, I highly recommend you come by Champions or swing out to Academia Brewing Company. They have that is the location for the UGA Athens alumni group. That's where you go watch the game. They have two giant screens set up. They have reserved seating, so you don't have to, you know, worry about getting out there and not having a place to watch the game. They do now. They're canning their stuff, and they also have some bottles, I believe. No, I mean the small
cans.
The cans. Yeah. The small, not the crowlers, but the small cans. Those are popping up around town. You can get the Hunker Down Brown, which I can tell you is a fantastic beer. It is.
You got to drive later, sir.
I'm just – well.
Both you guys
no,
going over
if we're both
today?
Going, you can drive.
That's
I don't want to drive that fancy-ass car you got.
So I'm saying if you get a chance –
How many guys are going to be there?
I think it's 10 or 11.
Excuse me. That's a chance to what now? How many academia? What
no, I'm just saying this Saturday, if you want to watch the game and you're not going to Lexington, if you're in Athens, two of the best places you can go, of course, go by any of your pie at the 58 locations they have. But If you're in town, swing by Champy's, have some great food. You know it's going to be on here on all the TVs. But also Academia sets up the two giant screens. They have the reserve seating, so it's a great place to watch the game. You just can't beat it.
Good call.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Also want to give a big shout-out to Cable East. Thanks, Robert Wall, for sponsoring the show. And something we have new on our website, if you go to the front page and you look for the Aaron's overhead door thing, I put this in my 321, they now have 0% financing on if you need a new garage door. So I was kind of impressed with the whole idea. It's like, I think it's 12 months, 18 months. I have to look back at it. I was just kind of blown away that they did that. So if you want a new garage door, you need service, something like that, and you don't have the money on you right now, you can apply for the 0% financing. And with all the fantastic service those guys do, 12 months. So 12 months, 0% financing. You can get a whole new look for your house. You can get service done. You can get a garage door, you know, installed. So big shout out to Aaron Overhead Doors. I can tell you for a fact that the guys at Aaron Overhead Doors were bouncing off the walls when that clock hit zero. And Georgia had beaten Jacksonville. I've been out there. I spoke to those guys. Not fans of Florida in that office. Not saying it's their biggest rival, but it's pretty bloody close. So
it is.
There's nobody out there like the guys, Ryan, Lucia, and the folks at Aaron Overhead Doors. They're huge, huge Georgia supporters. That's why they support our 3-2-1. We mentioned in 3-2-1 this was going to be Jake Fromm's game. Coach stuck with him. I know a lot of people are freaking out about Justin Fields. I would almost end the show with this one thought about Justin Fields. There's a lot of rumors running around about him, and I don't think that they're giving Justin Fields enough credit. They're almost acting like he's a petulant child and that if somebody else is starting, he's going to take his ball and go home.
So stupid.
I'm like,
he's a good kid. You got to be disappointed he's not playing, but at the same time, he's a team player, and, I agree with you there. We don't speculate. Let's see what happens.
If something happens, it happens. You can't not play a kid because the guy that's out there is you can't play a kid just because the guy out there is with the idea that, well, if we don't play him, he might transfer. Well, hell, so might everybody else on
that's right.
You got 22 starters on an 85-man roster. Are all the other 63 of them going to transfer?
Be glad. But you know, one time every year you get a chance to – after the Florida game, you get a chance to see what happened. And Florida had a team meeting, and a team doctor got up and said, "Men, we got 3 new cases of gonorrhea." And one kid said, "I'm glad I was getting tired of that Gatorade."
Oh, Lord. That's, all right.
And with that, we will we'll wrap up the show with that one. A big shout-out to Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Cable East, 365 Game Day. Of course, if you need new gear for this weekend, and if Georgia wins, swing by 365 Game Day and get your SEC East Champion T-shirts. I'm sure they'll have them.
Can we take up a collection here to give over? You're going to see Hazelwood today. Can we give him a little cash? We could probably get 500 bills right here.
With the folks that are in here, yeah, we can take up a good collection. For anybody that wants to know more about recruiting and more about UGA football, swing by UGASports.com. Jake is going to have a ton of recruiting updates from some major Georgia targets this evening.
Oh, and I got some extra stuff coming with some guys that we won't be seeing tonight.
Hey, nice tease, man.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 27 cents a day, folks.
Go for it, man. I like it.
It's 27 cents. You can't beat it.
There. You got me teased.
You got to check out UGASports.com.
This guy's wired, man. I tell you what, you got some contacts.
Y'all take care. We will see you next Tuesday.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.